Welcome back, everyone. Ted Ramey with you on this Thursday afternoon. Well, I'm going to be out tomorrow on my way to New York for an Earthquakes broadcast. And I said, you know what? Spring has sprung. It's warm. It's feeling good. And I thought, you know what? We need to get our good friend Jason Petros, the Greek god of hops, the real Greek god of hops, as we call him around here, the one and only Jason Petros, the Brewing Network. Mr. Petros, how are you doing today?
I'm doing perfect. I'm doing perfect, Ted. I'm talking to you, and that you can't beat that. You know what I mean?
I like to think that it would be, you know, somewhat good. I don't know if it's ever been described as perfect before, but I will take it, man.
There you go,
man. It's been so great because it's been cold and rainy and cold and rain. Not that I ever really need an excuse or inspiration to drink beer, but it was rainy and cold. It didn't make me feel like I wanted to really, you know, have beers and things of that nature. Like when it's cold around Christmas, then it's like, get warm by the fire, even though I don't have fires. But it's just that idea of like, it's kind of romantic. But when it's February and it's rainy, it's just kind of like, when's it going to be warm? And it's gotten warm. So now I'm like, okay, now I need to drink some beer and, you know, have some session IPAs and have some lagers and have some, whatever's out there. More sour beers, more everything. More anything, more everything.
Yeah, it's weird, man. The beer drinking is very seasonal. Like, you don't really think of wine drinking as seasonal or like cider or mead or whatever, because that's just kind of all around. But beer has so many complex flavors that the colder, rainy periods of time are somehow much more suited for darker beers and for maybe a little bit of stronger beers. And so, yeah, as the sunshine is pushing all the clouds away, my palate is definitely itching for a little more hoppiness, a little less malt, a little less sweetness, and just something kind of bright to just take me through the day. For sure.
I know it's a good time of the year because I think, you know, I think that the seasonal nature of brewing, and I guess I'll ask you that because you've been in it for a while, but it seems like now more than ever, and specifically in the last 5 years, they've been much more with the seasonals. Like, this is our spring flagship. This is our summer, fall, winter, Valentine's Day, whatever. But now, I mean, you know, different breweries are going to come out with their lines that kind of usher in the different seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that is due to such a large amount of breweries entering the marketplace. I mean, that's really not slowing down. Craft beer is still growing, not as fast as it used to, but it's still growing very, very quickly. And, you know, breweries need that kind of stuff. You need more seasonals. You know, in like the 90s and the early 2000s, you didn't really have too much of that. You had some breweries doing it, but for the most part, it's like, here's a winter warmer and, you know, whatever. But nowadays, it's almost imperative that you keep cranking out new styles and different stuff. You have to stay relevant.
You know, I'll ask you, because you talked about the way that craft beer is still brewing, is it wise for other breweries to be entering the market when something that was pretty much established within San Francisco and Speakeasy was at least temporarily shutting down just a couple of weeks ago?
You know, that's I'm not my brain isn't smart enough for that conversation, but it is something to think about. There is a cautionary tale to be read into, I suppose, with that Speakeasy thing. They are up for sale. And, they couldn't quite manage their expansion, which is very sad because they've been around for a long time, man, a long time. And it's, you know, hopefully they stay around. Hopefully someone comes and buys them and keeps them around and helps them manage the debt. But it's, you know, owning a brewery is much more than just making good beer. You have to be able, at some point, you have to be able to manage your growth and the debt to growth ratio, which it sounds like wasn't really managed all that well. I don't know. I'm not on the inside.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's my assumption.
It's interesting because you look at Speakeasy and the trouble they had, and then, you know, Pyramid had to massively contract a couple years ago too. They, you know, their Walnut Creek store is gone. Their Berkeley one is gone. They're still putting out beer, but they've contracted massively compared to where they were a decade ago. And I guess, I mean, we've seen Stone and Sierra Nevada and Bear Republic and, you know, many different breweries that have taken that step. But it seems like if you don't take that step to where you're going to be one of the bigger beers that makes it out of the craft world, that you can kind of get stuck in that limbo where you don't really know which direction it's going to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the big move now in craft is satellite tasting rooms, which, to what you were saying, Pyramid was sort of the first to really do that, right, with their Walnut Creek shop. I mean, they had a little you know, pilot brewery in there, but, you know, they were still making some delicious beer out of there. Actually, the beer out of there was rivaling the stuff they were putting on the shelves. I thought it was delicious. But, you know, you have Drake's opening some satellite locations. You have Fieldwork opening up some places. You have Stone trying to open up in Napa. That's kind of the way forward, I think, for these breweries. They want to stay regional. They don't want national distribution. They want to just serve this market and kind of dominate this market.
By the way, Jason, you made me think of a memory. I distinctly remember you in Jest dancing on a table at Pyramid in Walnut Creek, maybe 2007 or so.
Wow. Who is this? Wrong number.
I just had that thought. I was like, oh, I can't remember something at Pyramid. It wasn't because you were smashed or anything. It was just because you were going with a bit, but I distinctly remember it. It was funny at the very least.
At the very least, we can
laugh at your expense, obviously. I'm curious, because we are going to be joined by our friend Seth Bindernagel from the San Francisco International Beer Fest in a moment. If you had a recommendation right now for the people who are about to go to Safeway, BevMo, their liquor store, looking for something to drink.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, we were talking about, you know, craving some lighter beers, light on the malt, but with some hoppiness to it. Half Acre released their Daisy Cutter Pale Ale, which is not something we usually get out here. Half Acre is kind of spotty with the California distribution, but I can confirm it's in the Bay Area right now. It's on tap. It's in cans, and it's a delicious, it's a very hoppy pale ale, probably more on the IPA bittering scale than anything, but it's a 5.2% beer, so you could call it a session IPA, I guess, if you really wanted to. But there's a little more malt in there to make it not some sort of weird session IPA, but just a straight up pale ale, which I appreciate the honesty in advertising there. But very delicious, some floral notes, some citrus notes, a little bit of grassiness, which actually goes really well. It's a very good beer. I highly recommend it.
Great stuff there. Again, we're talking to Jason Petros of the Brewing Network here on KMBR 1050. And now we're going to be joined by our good friend Seth Bindernagel, who joins us from the San Francisco Beer Festival. Of course, the 34th annual Beer Festival is going to be happening on April 8th. And, of course, all the proceeds from the festival benefit the nonprofit Telegraph Hill Cooperative Nursery School, which is the oldest parent-run preschool in San Francisco. This was started back in 1984. A group of parents, just 5 beers. Since then, it has served as the single biggest revenue source for affordable preschool education for about 30 kids aged 2 to 5 years old. Really cool stuff. And this is, I believe, the third or fourth year we've done this with the people from the San Francisco Beer Festival. Seth, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks, Ted. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, no problem, man. I appreciate it. And unfortunately, this year, I will not be able to be there myself in attendance, but I can attest to everyone, just every time that I've gone, it has been absolutely fantastic. People have had a great time. And then, you know, you get to meet so many people. You get to go try so many great beers and talk to people in the beer industry, and you know the money is going to a good place. So what's on tap for this year? I mean, 34 years now going strong, but you guys are putting new things into it every year.
Yeah, we are. And sorry you won't be able to join us, but I'll make up the slack, so I'll try to taste it for you as well.
Please.
We're actively going around as parents. We work the event. We're monitoring it, and so we're all there. And it's a big event. So, you know, it's similar format as it always has been. But, you know, we've got terrific brewers coming in. We think this year is probably our best restaurant lineup. So, you know, for the price of the ticket, not only do you get your souvenir mug and you can go and taste from – you know, upwards of 100 brewers, you get complimentary bites from a ton of different cool restaurants. And so we're psyched about the restaurants this year. It's going to be great food. We've got some fun tournaments going on. We've got some live music going on. So, yeah, every year we try to pour in something new.
Yeah, no, and I always, you know, it's such a good event and go to, and you get to meet so many people. Like you said, you know, you're going to have, you know, all these different craft beer makers and people out there. And then I'll ask, you know, Jason, just because you've done so many of these, Jason, when you go to one of these things, you know, how do you do it, and how do you try to not necessarily pace yourself, but not fry your palate when you're doing these tastings?
That's a great question. Pacing myself is relatively easy. You know, you got to make sure you're drinking enough water. If you want to survive and, you know, remember anything about the event, much less the day. Drank a lot of water. I also try to look for beers that I haven't